Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back, everybody, and please join me in welcoming Kobi Lokranji, who is the founder and asset manager at Rexilom Invest. Now, Kobi, you and I have spoken about before about market valuations, and particularly local versus S&P, and I see even Powell actually mentioned that valuations are perhaps climbing into a level that he's not very comfortable with. What's your take on this?
Yeah, so Dawn, I think, firstly, thanks for the opportunity and good evening to the listeners. As you know, many South Africans have got very diversified portfolios. So that means they've got money overseas, they've got money locally, and obviously they diversify across various markets in order to ensure that they harness the different returns from, you know, from these different sources. Now, one of those markets is obviously is the S&P 500, which is domiciled in the United States. It is very tech heavy, and it is at the forefront, quite frankly, of what is happening in artificial intelligence. Now, today, the PEs in this market is probably in the order of about 29 times earnings. That juxtaposes to where it was at the beginning of the year at about 27 times earnings. And quite frankly, the tariff tantrum that we saw in April really was a gift in hindsight at 23 times earnings, because as the market sold, the valuation started coming down to about 22, 23 times earnings. And then from there, we've seen it rush up again. So we've seen this valuation. Just to give you some numbers here, the S&P 500 year to date is up about 12.4%, and month to date is up another 2.5%. And much of this is really speaking, you know, is really speaking as those IT stocks, those very large technology companies that continue to buoy the market and push these valuations up. Now, the problem that one faces today is 29 times earnings is a frothy number to pay for a complete market. It's not a cheap number to pay. As a matter of fact, if you look back over time and kind of look at the correlations between these valuations versus what your subsequent five-year returns are, can be, no, they're pretty much muted from this point forward. You're not going to get fantastic returns. But it comes with a caveat. The caveat is, how is artificial intelligence going to be changing the landscape as far as earnings are concerned? That's the first thing. And the second thing is the macro backdrop. The macro backdrop is that debt numbers in the United States have spiraled out of control. They need to get this under control. And the two-pronged approach of that is a weaker dollar paired with liquidity. And the liquidity is really moving from a Fed-led activity more to something that has become, that is led by the Treasury. So one has to almost understand the market in context of the kind of history in which it's been and where it is today. And if you understand that, then suddenly valuations might or might not start making more sense.
And what about local valuations, Kobi?
So Dawn, the All Share at the moment is trading at about 14 times earnings. Now that's after the year-to-date return of about 30%, and month-to-date, we've seen the All Share up another 5.5%. Now, much of this result that we've seen is really led by large resource companies. So commodities is what has buoyed the market in South Africa. It's not so much the other sectors. So if we look at companies that are like Sibanye-Stillwater and Goldfields Northam and AngloGold Ashanti, you know, all of those are up hugely. They're up over 170%, each one of those year to date. Those are very, very large numbers. But then they've come back. Again, context is important here. They've come from a very low base. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that as central banks globally continue to turn to gold as a store of wealth, there's an impetus for these stocks. There's a narrative into which they're busy playing off into. So you've continued to see these this kind of rise. Now, just understand that and juxtapose that relative to, say, for instance, a process, which everybody is obviously familiar with. Process is obviously, you know, the international business that holds Tencent. That is up 57%, you know, for the year. Naspers is up 44% year to date. That kind of gives you an indication of kind of where some other stocks have been. Look at Capitec. I mean, that's up a respectable 14%. And I think in most markets, people would say 14% is fantastic. That's really not a bad number. But relative to gold and what gold stocks has been able to do, that seems like quite a muted number at this stage. So much of what you're seeing on the JSE All Share at the moment is really resource-led. And then within resources, it's gold-led. And one has to understand, again, the context of the weaker dollar, the buoyant gold price, and what has been driving the values in these stocks.
There are some concerns, particularly offshore, and I think Paul alluded to it, that the market is in a bubble. I mean, I don't really see sort of the kind of valuations that we were seeing in before the dot-com bust. Have you got any concerns that the market is in a bubble, particularly offshore? I mean, ours is mostly resource-led, and when gold comes down, then probably our markets will come down with it. But what about offshore?
Yeah, so Dawn, I think firstly, you get the very large AI players. Now, you could buy, say, a Google today at about 26 times earnings. That's kind of where it trades. Many of these very large AI-enabled businesses are trading kind of in the high 20s from a PE perspective. Yes, there's certainly standout businesses in the space. There's certainly companies that are very different and that are trading at much, much higher valuations. And one has to take those into consideration. So I think if I look specifically at valuations in the United States, I think, you know, at 29 times earnings and for some of these large tech players in the high 20s from a PE perspective, you know, I kind of look at it and I say, okay, well, look, you know what? These are the valuations for these. You know, if they continue to deliver the earnings, they can sustain these levels going forward. It might peter out at some point, but it's certainly, you know, it's certainly not crazy. You know, remember in the dot-com bust, we saw valuations up, you know, in some cases at 100 times earnings. That being said, there are companies that are trading at these valuations. I take a business such as, for instance, Palantir Technologies, brilliant technology company, absolutely fantastic, doing stuff that other companies can't necessarily achieve, but you're paying 600 times earnings for this company today. Should one be buying this company at 600 times earnings? I'd probably say no. I'd say, you know, it's probably better for you to wait. But you juxtapose that relative to, say, for instance, what's happening at Google. You know, Google's trading at 26 times earnings. The one is a behemoth. The other one's a much smaller business. Palantir can grow a lot quicker than what Google can. Yes, absolutely. But does it justify the 600 times earnings? No, it probably doesn't. And then there's other examples, you know, of this. I'm thinking of a company, you know, Iron Limited. Iron Limited at the moment is after 490% gain in the last year, this business is trading at 77 times earnings. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a data center company. They mine Bitcoin. And, you know, does that justify these kind of numbers? I'd say probably not, you know, or if it does, I mean, good luck to them and good luck to the investors. But you're probably assuming more risk than the return is going to be worth in order to do something like this. So I voice what the Fed chair is voicing. I'm saying, listen, there's certainly the inklings of the start of this market being expensive. It's not necessarily in these very large tech companies. It's probably in other areas of the market. And, you know, as I've just alluded, you know, these are companies that are wannabe technology companies or wannabe in the kind of technology space, and they are just going to be battling. I also have to say, Dawn, that there's other companies that are trading in the United States which are not in the tech space at all, but are actually quite expensive. I take a company like Syntys Corporation, for instance, a brilliant corporation in industrial in the United States, trading at a PE of 45 times. This is a large, large cap company. Or take Fontenal as an example, 45 times earnings. You know, these are expensive companies. So when the chair looks at valuations on the S&P 500, it's not necessarily the large tech players that have got these frothy valuations. It's often in other things.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your input, Kobi. That was Kobi Lakranji, founder and asset manager at Rexalom Invest.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.